Blog Talk Radio.
It's the love of the season. When your love runs high, in the dark, give it to me easy. And let me try with pleasure at hand.
Take you in the sun to
promised land.
Show you everyone in the sky. On the season for love.
What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Is he rich like me? Has he taken any time to show you what you need to live?
Tell me to be
slowly. Tell you what
I really want to know. It's the time of the season.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. David Franklin here in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening. And once again, we are the Democracy Defenders. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, and we'll have a great show for you tonight. As the GOP digs deeper into the lies and continues supporting a megalomaniac, people are turning their backs on MAGA. The Freedom, and I express as in F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B, the Freedom Caucus, imploding as they expel extremist member Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, saying that she has become too mainstream. The chickens are coming home to roost as people are paying attention and catching on to the GOP grift. The alternative truth is causing a major backlash as Joe Biden continues to slay in creating new jobs, fighting for student debt relief, fighting for lower prescription drug costs, building up military while being blocked in key confirmations, and so much more. What is the Republican platform besides saying no to everything and supporting a twice indicted, twice impeached loser like Donald Trump? A comparison of policies between the Democrats and Republicans to see a contrast between the two needs to be done. It is not a flex being cruel. As America wakes up to its deepest sleep, comatose state, the backlash against the MAGA and GOP coming to fruition. Daddy could join us here tonight as we decipher reality from fantasy and truth from fiction, calling with your views as we discuss a wide range of political topics affecting America today. The number to call in is 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. And turn off all background noises as a distraction to us as hosts and to people listening. And do not speak over the host. If you fail to adhere to that one demand, then you'll be cut off. So thanks again for sharing across social media and trying to help us build back better. Visit us and share the website. We're at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori. Okay, so the Democrats are targeting 41 seats held by the GOP in 2024. I have a 2.5-minute excerpt here about what the targets are and who they're going after, because most of these people, the vote against the student debt relief, and they're saying no to everything on the face of the earth, and it's just stalling everything. America is in gridlock because of them. They serve no useful purpose. They don't want to compromise with Democrats. Politics is an art of compromise, and I refuse to do that. So, Democrats targeting 31 GOP held seats in 2024. And the House of Representatives, as everybody know, is 435 seats, and the Democrats hope to regain a majority in 2024. So let's play this excerpt, and we'll talk about it on the flip side of this.
exclusive new reporting on how Democrats are planning to take back the House in 2024. They're going on the offensive, targeting 31 Republican-held districts across the country, including the House seats now held by George Santos and Lauren Boebert. NBC's Sahil Kapoor joins me from Capitol Hill with more. You broke this news earlier today. So how do Democrats think they can win these races in 2024? What's the strategy?
Hey, Chris. Well, this is quite an ambitious target list by the Democrats. Their strategy, quite simply, is to portray Democratic candidates in the next House election as team normal and to portray Republican candidates as MAGA extremists or beholden to MAGA extremists. Of these 31 held Republican-held districts, I break them down into three categories. There are the perennial swing districts that are just so closely divided. Competitive. That includes David Schweikert over in Arizona around the Phoenix suburb. That includes Mike Lawler up in New York, just outside Manhattan. Then there are about more than a dozen Republicans who sit in districts that President Biden carried in 2020. That includes Don Bacon over in Omaha. It includes George Santos in Long Island. And then there's the category of modestly Republican-leaning districts where Democrats argue that the candidate, that the incumbent, is too extreme. That includes Scott Perry in Pennsylvania and, of course, Lauren Boebert in Colorado, who won her election last time around by just hundreds of votes. Now, it's early, and a lot of different factors are going to come into play here. Of course, the state of the economy. Of course, presidential approval. And, you know, the question of who is at the top of the ticket. Let's put the statement up from the DCCC's executive director, Julie Merz, about former President Trump getting indicted, facing criminal charges. She tells me, quote, if House Republicans want to spend their time in battleground districts defending their nominee's criminal behavior on top of their own failure to govern and deliver anything remotely helpful for working families, that is up to them, unquote. How are Republicans responding to all of this? Let's put their statement up on the screen from the Republican Campaign Committee Communications Director, Jack Pandahl. He says, if Democrats are the ones who are extreme, they're going to try to tie Democratic candidates to crime, chaos, and skyrocketing costs. Who are voters ultimately going to believe here? Of course, these 31 districts, Chris, represent the outer limits of what Democrats can achieve. There are a whole host of separate Democratic incumbents who are going to have to be playing defense. And down the stretch, Democrats are going to have to make very difficult decisions about where to play offense and where to play defense.
Yes, so the Democrats playing offense as a defense as usual. There are two chickens, like state facts, and fight back the Republicans. So hopefully, you know, the fight back and, you know, not play this game where it's, oh, no, you know, if they go low, we go high. Those days are over. I keep saying this almost every show. Why do Democrats play on the defensive? You know, Biden has created 33,000 more jobs. You know, he is fighting inflation the best as he can. He's brought down unemployment. It's in single digits now. So, you know, I mean, what the hell is happening? Democrats need to step up and stop being wusses. You know, come on, though.
Well, I don't know if it's so much that they're being wussies. I think that they are building a strategy, going after these Republicans and naming them. For me, is a good is a giant step because they normally don't do that. So I think they are starting to realize that if we do not win the 2024 election, as far as the House, the Senate, and the presidential election, the White House, that we are going to become a fascist country. I don't see it going any other way. They are working, you know, the Republicans are working every day to, I mean, they even introduced something to slash Social Security. They want to turn Medicare into a voucher plan. And you know, it's like they're, you know, the account, Medicare and the Social Security is not their money to play with. It is money that people have worked all their lives to put into a fund so that they have a safe safety net is what I was trying to say, a safety net for when they finally retire. And a lot of people cannot afford, you know, Medicare pays, let's say you go in the hospital right now, they pay 80% of the bill. The other 20%, of course, if you do not have a supplemental insurance, which is not cheap, by the way, you will have to pay that 20%. So, you know, at least 80% of your bill would be paid if you don't have a supplemental plan. And then Social Security, they want to raise the age to retirement to 69 years old. I mean, goodness gracious, you know, if you've been working since you were 16 years old, you know, and you have to wait till you're 69 now to retire, you know, your golden years are right there at your doorstep. It's just not fair. And I don't understand why they don't see this, because there are also Republicans that, you know, have worked all their lives as well and do not want to see this happen. So it I kind of feel like they're, you know, cutting their noses off to spite their faces, but they don't seem to care.
Yeah, and, you know, it's very disrespectful what John Roberts and the Supreme Court did recently, the majority of votes is 63, on getting rid of affirmative action. And one by one, and, you know, before that, they got rid of Roe versus Wade, you know, giving the woman the right to choose what she's doing with her body, between her and her doctor. What will they go after next? Gay rights, gay marriages, gay adoption, freedom of religion. There's so many things out there that is protected now, but because, you know, the majority of the Supreme Court is 63 on the conservative side, what does it say about America's future when, you know, the rolling back progress that we've made for the past 60 to 70 years?
Yes, absolutely. We seem to be peddling backwards, you know, not that we are the ones that want to pedal backwards, you know, it's the Supreme Court, with, you know, the majority are conservatives and very hard right conservatives, and they are trying to backpedal us, you know, with different rights and provisions, which is unfair to the American people. There are some things that we can vote on. Like, why can't we vote on if we want abortion legal or not legal in this country? Why is it that the Supreme Court has a final say on that? You know, they are just a few human beings that are dictating to millions of people, millions of women. And it's just unfair.
But the thing is, back in 1973, the decision was made. You know, so why keep resisting the case, you know, and the Supreme Court, which is run by bullies, basically, who have an agenda that is with the Republican Party, you know, this Christian, quote unquote, Christian thing where they go off the Bible instead of the Constitution of the United States and what's in law and land, you know, so that's how the rollback things and everything. And for the Supreme Court, Chief Justice Roberts' wife, to make $10.3 million off top law firms in the past how many years, you know, isn't there that a conflict of interest, meaning that cases before the Supreme Court in which Justice Roberts' wife was part of, and did they rule in favor of these law firms because, you know, his wife is who she is? You know, I mean, if that's not a conflict of interest, I don't know what the hell is. And CBS News spoke with the Obamas when the Supreme Court decision was made to roll back affirmative action. And Michelle Obama made a statement, and a constitutional expert as he is, Barack Obama, made, you know, his speech and everything. You know, so, I mean, this country is going backward. Instead of progressing, we're going backward. And that's frightening. That's scary. Because if they come after your rights or a minority right, like affirmative action, then who next? You know, if you're not saying a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, then, you know, you're in trouble. You know, no matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, whatever. You know, if you're foolhardy enough to think that, you know, Republicans in the Supreme Court now come to your rights, then, you know, I have a unicorn to sell you. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This country has turned ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, what about that website designer, you know, who supposedly refused, you know, to do the website for same-sex weddings? I mean, how does a case like that get to the Supreme Court? It's mind-boggling to me to go that far and that deep into someone's life. You know, wouldn't it have been easier for that website designer just to say, no, I'm sorry, I do those, you know, I don't want to do that kind of a website, and leave it as that. They have to get a ruling and make it so that it makes other things harder for same-sex, you know, marriages to plan their weddings and their websites.
My thing is then, if I have a business and a MAGA idiot, they come in his red cap and Trump shirt with guns strapped across the chest, then, you know, based on Supreme Court ruling, I have no right. If I don't want to serve that person, then I don't have to serve him. You know, so it goes both ways, really. It goes
I agree with you. It does go both ways. But, you know, the Supreme Court, I guess the point I'm trying to make is the Supreme Court, you know, made this decision, and it interfered with, you know, everyday people's lives. And I don't think that they have that reach. They should not have that reach. They have the reach, but they should not have that reach, that power to make those kind of decisions. And it's just wrong.
Yeah, we're going to have our first call. I think this is Elaine from Michigan. But before that, this is Obama's reaction to the Supreme Court ruling against affirmative action and rolling back that program.
Same school. Others have families who can afford coaches to help them run faster or hit a ball harder. Others go to high schools with lavish resources for tutors and extensive standardized test prep that help them score higher on college entrance exams. We don't usually question if those students belong, she says. So often we just accept that money, power, and privilege are perfectly justifiable forms of affirmative action, while kids growing up like I did are expected to compete when the ground is anything but level. She goes on to say, today, my heart breaks for any young person out there who's wondering what their future holds and what kinds of chances will be open to them. And while I know the strength and grit that lies inside kids who have always had to sweat a little more to climb the same ladders, I hope and I pray that the rest of us are willing to sweat a little too. Today's a reminder that we've got to do the work not just to enact policies that reflect our values of equity and fairness, but to truly make those values real in all of our schools, workplaces, and neighborhoods. Notably then, former President Obama, in a much shorter statement, says in part, like any policy, affirmative action wasn't perfect, but it allowed generations of students like Michelle and me to prove we belonged. Now it's up to all of us to give young people the opportunities they deserve and help students everywhere benefit from new perspectives. So that is a notably, you know, strongly worded reaction from Michelle Obama, who clearly has an opinion on this and has expressed opinions on so little else in the years since she left the White House. Clearly this one today hitting a nerve, especially given her own life experiences and how she benefited from higher education. But there are others in the political space who've weighed in on this. Just a little while ago, the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell speaking on behalf of many Republicans, saying in part that the decision, quote, is a, quote, long overdue step towards ensuring equal protection under the law. For decades, the court turned a blind eye as higher education prioritized illegal social engineering over merit. Today's rulings make clear that colleges may not continue discriminating against bright and ambitious students based on the color of their skin. Most Americans agree that racial discrimination should play no part in the college admissions process. Now that the court has reaffirmed that common sense position, students can get a fair shot at college and the American dream on their merits. The Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley also weighing in, saying the world admires America because we value freedom and opportunity. SCOTUS reaffirmed those values today. picking winners and losers based on race is fundamentally wrong. And we should point out more broadly, CBS News has polled on the question of affirmative action and race-based college admissions. 53% of Americans in the CBS poll support continuing affirmative action as a policy, but just 30% of Americans in our recent CBS poll believe that colleges and universities should be allowed to use race as a consideration in admissions. So public opinion today, at least, reflected in that Supreme Court decision. The Supreme Court doesn't account for public opinion, or at least it says it doesn't, but it is important to point out that at least in our recent polling, most Americans agree with what the court did today.
What's the best kept?
Elaine from Michigan, welcome. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hi, Elaine.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. Continue on.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish that
so what do you think about the Supreme Court ruling?
I don't know what. I don't know anymore. I just don't know anymore. You two continue on. Let me just listen tonight.
Well, okay. We'll have a call from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Hi there. How are you tonight?
Hi. Yes, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? I'm good. This is Margarita again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that the world is sort of incredulous at this moment that, you know, the Republican Party and especially people in Congress, that especially during Obama's term, when Mitch McConnell was blocking his right to place somebody on the Supreme Court all that time, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That they said, well, we don't want activist judges appointed to the board, to the Supreme Court. I just find it just so unbelievably hypocritical because that's exactly what they have done.
Yeah.
They have appointed activist legislator judges that essentially mm-hmm. are overstepping their authority from judgment position of a judicial council perspective. They are the judicial branch, but they are now acting as legislators, correcting any legislative law that was already passed by the will of the people and the representatives
mm-hmm.
of Congress and the Senate. You know, so I just find it really just unbelievable that these people have done what they've done. They're absolutely activist judges. You've got 6 out of 9 judges that are extreme right-wing, and they are doing to the majority will of the people. But it also begs the other question, and then I'll shut up. I don't believe that judicial appointee should be appointed for life.
Right.
I find it
exactly.
unbelievable that there's no accountability for corruption on the part of any judges. It's almost impossible to get rid of a bad judge, even at the state and county or, you know, anything below what we're talking about. You literally have to catch them in a sting operation where they literally have their hand in the cookie jar and you have proof of taking bribes or something. I mean, short of that, it's almost impossible. But essentially what's happened now is we now know that Thomas and Alito and all these people have literally taken bribes, huge amounts of money and privileges and to essentially influence their decision to affect rulings that those people that have bribed them want to be changed and to make it the law of the land on top of it.
Right.
It just, it's unbelievable. So I don't even know what to say. I also find it really amazing that Thomas, who literally was only on the Supreme Court and ever made it into the halls of education where he was permitted, was a product. He was a product of the affirmative action.
Yes, he was. Absolutely.
And I just find it unbelievable And I just, I don't understand this. Now I get why racists don't want people of color to have an honest chance at anything. I get that. But I don't believe that the majority of humankind, white included, are this corrupt in their thinking, are this hateful and unsupportive of just fairness. We're not talking about rigging a system to benefit one group over another. We're just asking for the system to recognize that there must be some effort to create a fair opportunity for people of all colors. And it's just so heartbreaking. I can't even I feel like the Handmaid's Tale, and I'll shut up, I promise. I feel like the Handmaid's Tale, it's like the Republicans have taken that book, and maybe not the book itself, but the concepts in it, and said, we're going to perfect all of the flaws of those concepts and make sure that we make it to our will. Anyway, I'll be quiet now.
Oh, no, you don't have to be, but what I'm saying is that Republicans, God, I wish I could say what I really want to say about Republicans on here, but they kicked me off. These people are so malicious, and Clarence Thomas, for example, you're saying that affirmative action helped him, but he dragged a ladder up from other people who want to get help on affirmative action. Why didn't the Supreme Court look at what happened with the legacy scholarships that's going on, where, for example, the actress from Full House, Aunt Becky, can't remember her name now, she paid nearly $500,000 for her two girls to get in under the pretense that they're getting sports scholarships. But because their mother, their famous mother and father, paid $500,000 each for them to get into USC, on a false pretense, nothing happened. They got like probably a couple months in jail, but that was it. So why the Supreme Court don't look at things like that? That's a bigger problem than affirmative action, because based on the history of America, it was a problem for African Americans and other non-white people to move forward because of systemic racism. And because of this malignant black self-hatred that Clarence Thomas has, and selfishness, he's like, yeah, I got mine, so fuck you, everybody else. And Clarence Thomas is a danger. Clarence Thomas is just so evil and vile and disgusting,
There
I hope they remove him.
Go ahead, David.
Finish making my point. Go ahead.
There is a breaking story. We are talking about Clarence at the moment, and there's still another billionaire friend that has enriched him as well. We know that he has other, Harlan Crowe was one of the ones, but there is another one. His name is it is the Horatio Alger Association, and this association led him to receive lavish vacations, a Super Bowl ring, and public support, and he had all these gifts from them. And I'll just tell you a little bit. These are some of the key facts about this association. The Horatio Alger Association of Distinguished Americans was founded in 1947. Is named after an author known for his rags-to-riches novels and has counted hundreds of figures in business, politics, and media as members, aiming to dispel the mounting belief that our nation's youth, that the American dream was no longer attainable, according to the group's website. Thomas has been a member of this association for more than three decades, joining shortly after he was confirmed to the Supreme Court, and regularly hosts an annual ceremony inside the high court to induct new members. And this is what the Times reported. The justice has received a Super Bowl ring from billionaire Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, whose friendship with Thomas predates his joining Horatio Alger. Multiple private flights from the deceased former Miami Dolphins owner and billionaire Blockbuster founder Wayne Huizenga, as well as vacations with business executive David Sokol, according to the Times. And then it goes on to say, after Anita Hill's sexual misconduct allegations resurfaced in 2016 with the release of the HBO film Confirmation, Sokol, Crow, and billionaire Horatio Alger member Dennis Washington were reportedly among the funders of a favorable documentary of Thomas's life, created by Thomas in his own words. So there you go. Why Clarence Thomas is still a Supreme Court justice is way beyond me. Now they're finding out and they're digging up all these things. But they better move fast, because this man is on a power trip from hell. Okay?
Yeah. Clarence Thomas shown that he can't be trusted. And, you know, he can bought the highest bidder and everything. And the Supreme Court is facing a serious crisis in terms of public trust. And Clarence Thomas, if he, you know, is decent, he should resign. But that will happen, you know. So
no.
Is there mechanisms to impeach a Supreme Court justice? It's never been done in history. So I'm just genuinely wondering if there's a system that can impeach a Supreme Court justice for doing what Clarence Thomas and a couple of others of them did.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, and there's one other thing that I want to say. There is a surprising fact that this, there are former members of this Horatio Alger Association who included Fred Trump, former President Donald Trump's father, Tramell Crow, Harlan Crow's father, former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, and poet Maya Angelou. So, surprising facts. I mean, there is so much that goes on that we have no clue about. And here, you know, he reaps all these benefits and this accolade, all these accolades and these gifts and, you know, all this prestige. And then he goes and makes bad decisions for the American people that hurt the American people, you know, the abortion, Roe versus Wade. Come on. You know, that's devastating women's lives. And did they have a right to do that, in my opinion? Hell no. No. And something has to be done about this. It really does. It's just like Margarita said, it's sad and it's heartbreaking because we are like sitting ducks. You know, what power do we have? You know, everyone says, oh, go vote. Go vote. You know, you have to vote. Well, sure, we have to vote, but then again, you know, they rigged the elections, they rigged, you know, it's maddening what they're trying to do, you know, you know, we all think that, you know, the Democrats that are in power are going to save us, like they're Superman, you know, and I don't know if they can save us. I really don't.
Well, because really some of the Democrats themselves are a corporate boss and paid for. So they don't care. As long as they're filling the coffers with money, then that's all really matters for them. Some of them talk a good game. Like, for example, that senator from Virginia, Manchin, and former Democrat Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, spoke a good game to get elected. And once there, let us kiss the ass of corporate donors. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. We need to get Democrats like that out of power and put in real progressives who move America forward, not these conservative blue dog idiots. You know, America is sick of that. Tricking down economics don't work.
No. It's been proven over and over. Yeah. You know, it's been proven over and over again. Trickle does not work. We all know that when you have to seed, you plant the seed in the ground and it grows up. And that's exactly how everything, you know, and they're trying to tell us the opposite. Like diamonds are going to fall from the sky, you know, and you're going to be able to catch them. It doesn't work like that. It just.
I want to play this political ad from 1964 when Lyndon Johnson and Barry Goldwater went against each other. And this is a Republican who's speaking. The name of the thing is Confessions of a Republican. And this is a 1964 political ad. And it's so relevant to Donald Trump today. You know, it's what was happening back then, but what's happening now. And Trump is like Barry Goldwater, but on steroids. You know, Reagan, it was, you know, a combination of all that from 64 to 1980. The Reagan Revolution came. I know Trump perfected the art of bullshit. Now, like I said, this is a Republican speaking about what his party has transformed into in 1964. And tell me, doesn't it relate to today, what's happening? This is it.
Okay.
I don't know just why they wanted to call this a confession. I certainly don't feel guilty about being a Republican. I've always been a Republican. My father is, his father was. The whole family is a Republican family. I voted for Dwight Eisenhower the first time I ever voted. I voted for Nixon the last time. But when we come to Senator Goldwater, now it seems to me we're up against a very different kind of a man. This man scares me. Now, maybe I'm wrong. A friend of mine has said to me, listen, just because a man sounds a little irresponsible during a campaign doesn't mean he's going to act irresponsibly. You know that theory that the White House makes the man. I don't buy that. You know what I think makes a president? I mean, aside from his judgment, his experience, are the men behind him, his advisors, the cabinet. And so many men with strange ideas are working for Goldwater. You hear a lot about what these guys are against. They seem to be against just about everything, but what are they for? The hardest thing to me about this whole campaign is to sort out one Goldwater statement from another. A reporter will go to Senator Goldwater and he'll say, Senator, on such and such a day, you said, and I quote, blah, 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 whatever it is, end quote. And then Goldwater says, well, I wouldn't put it that way. I can't follow that. Was he serious when he did put it that way? Is he serious when he says he wouldn't put it that way? I just don't get it. A president ought to mean what he says. President Johnson, now, Johnson at least is talking about facts. He says, look, we got the tax cut bill, and because of that you get to carry home X number of dollars more every payday. We got the nuclear test ban, and because of that there's X percent less radioactivity in the food. But Goldwater, well, often you can't, I can't figure out just what Goldwater means by the things he says. I read now where he says, a craven fear of debt is sweeping across America. What is that supposed to mean? If he means that people don't want to fight a nuclear war, he's right. I don't. When I read some of these things that Goldwater says about total victory, I get a little worried, you know? I wish I was as sure that Goldwater is against war as I am that he's against some of these other things. I wish I could believe that he has the imagination to be able to just shut his eyes and picture what this country would look like after a nuclear war. Sometimes I wish I'd been at that convention in San Francisco. I mean, I wish I'd been a delegate. I really do, because I would have thought, you know? And I wouldn't have worried so much about party unity, because if you unite behind a man you don't believe in, It's a lie. I tell you, those people who got control of that convention, who are they? I mean, when the head of the Ku Klux Klan, when all these weird groups come out in favor of the candidate of my party, either they're not Republicans or I'm not. I thought about just not voting in this election, just staying home, but you can't do that because that's saying you don't care who wins, and I do care. I think my party made a bad mistake in San Francisco, and I'm going to have to vote against that mistake on the 3rd of November.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
Yep, so that was from 60 years ago, where this Republican, who his grandfather was a Republican, his father was a Republican, he was a Republican, and because of extremes of Barry Goldwater and the Republican Party, where you had evangelicals coming in, you had Fred Cork, the father of David and Charles Cork, the John Birch Society, all these right-wing lunatic nutcases came into the Republican Party and, you know, just wreak havoc, basically. You know, your supply-side economic conservatives. And what he said in this video in 1964 rings very true today going into 2024. Just switch out Goldwater's name to Trump's name. How is it different? In fact, it's gotten worse. You know, so do you think the Republican Party, convicted or not, do you think if Trump is convicted or not, will they still choose him as their nominee for 2024? Lori, what do you think?
Looking like they have all lined up behind him like he is some sort of god. And for the life of me, I don't understand. I just don't understand. There has to be, and I keep saying this over and over, there has to be a reason for it. No one blindly follows anyone unless they either have something on you or you're going to gain something from it. And just don't know which it is. And it might be some of each for some of these Republicans. If you know, some of them may have things that they're trying to hide and get away with. And others see illusions of grandeur. But for the life of me, that's the only thing that I can come up with. Are they afraid they're going to lose their seats? It's hard to tell. It's mind-boggling. You know, even when he... Even when he speaks, a lot of times he makes no sense. He just talks about himself, you know, and makes himself into a martyr, and when we know the things that he has done, so that are illegal. So it's like I said, it's mind-boggling, and there has to be concrete reason behind it. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, I saw his Iowa Nazi rally. Was it a couple of days back? And I tried to listen to about 10, maybe 15 minutes of it. And he was just there rambling on, and all that he was saying made absolutely no sense. And people were cheering him on. And I'm like, what is happening? Is this a Twilight Zone? You know,
I mean, I don't understand if he was
talking about defense, if he was talking about some particular thing. But it was just all over the place, you know. And, you know, the sentences were not coherent. And for people to be cheering and waving flags and going on, you know, and carry on and making noise. I'm just, after 15 minutes of that, I'm like, no, I can't do this anymore. I tried, you know. I literally, honestly tried.
Yeah. It makes no sense even to try because we know. And the other thing that comes to mind is I wonder if these people are bussed in and paid to come and stand there and, you know, cheer him on. I've also wondered about that.
Well,
you know?
It was discovered that Ron DeSantis, that's what Ron DeSantis has been doing, because his campaign is crashing and burning. as we speak, because he's gone too far right, you know, and it's backfired on him and everything. So he wants to out-Trump Trump, and that's, you know, nearly next to impossible. You know, nobody can out-crazy Donald Trump. Let's put it that way.
Well, he's trying.
Yeah.
He's trying.
And that's why his campaign is failing miserably. And speaking of Nutcase, you know, he was saying that there's unfriendly political environment, that the media is deliberately destroying his campaign, Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. And his wife recently pushed for parents' rights in this campaign video. And DeSantis blamed media for sagging poll numbers. Quote, they're going after me. You know, nobody's going after you. You're doing it to yourself. You're comparing yourself to, you know, fictitious movie characters who are mass murderers. And you know, so who's that supposed to appeal to? Nobody I know that's, like, normal and have brains, you know, comparing yourself to a serial killer, a made-up movie serial killer. That's not right, Ron DeSantis. You know, stop acting crazy. Yeah. Well, continue acting crazy because, you know, we don't want you as president. You know, and if he gets the Republican nomination, he has a chance of becoming president. I will not let that happen. Somebody worse than Trump? Nah, it ain't happening.
No. Worse than Trump? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the difference between the two, you know, DeSantis is an intelligent, evil man. Where Trump is just a narcissistic con man, you know, with a silver tongue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between the two. So I would say DeSantis is dangerous. And the other thing is that Broward County, which is a big county in southern Florida, has lost more than a half conventions. You know, their organizers and they're, you know, canceling their conventions because of him. And, you know, they're going to lose lots of money. And they lost the program due to political climate is what they were told. And, you know, one of them, they had 855 rooms already, you know, reserved for August, and that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to lose all this money, you know. But guess what? It's his fault. People do not want to come into this environment where it's a hostile. He's a hostile man, you know, and he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, pretty much.
He's going to lose that money.
So, in other news now, prosecutors in Trump Mar-a-Lago case facing threats and harassment, according to a report, working in a classified documents case against former President Trump, have reportedly faced threats and harassment as a legal battle proceeds. The Washington Post cited the government's official, an extremism expert, reported this past Thursday, that prosecutors involved in the case have faced a significant harassment and threats online and elsewhere. Trump's supporters have posted the names of the prosecutors and government workers online and yelled them out at protests, the expert said. Still, two officials told the Post, that's the Washington Post, that federal agencies have not seen an overall increase in threats to law enforcement in the weeks following Trump's indictment over his possession of the documents at his Mar-a-Lago property in Florida. The FBI declined to comment to The Hill. The Post reported that the Justice Department has tried to prevent the names of those working on Trump's case to be made public, but prosecutors' names are included in public court filings. So this idiot Judge Cannon, who's in charge of the thing, you know, she allowed that to happen. She's a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
A Trump sycophant. You know, and hopefully the 11th Circuit Court will move her and put somebody who's more neutral. Because last year, I made the reports of an increase in threats against law enforcement officials by the FBI after the search Mar-a-Lago. The agency said that the working they're working to assess and respond to such threats, reprehensible and dangerous, I call it. But people familiar with the matter said that the Department of Justice officials like Attorney General Merrick Garland, FBI Director Christopher Wray, and others have had security teams for a long time. The officials are providing security to other individuals as needed. Yes, so it has gone from bad to worse, where Donald Trump, the psychopathic judge Cannon, and everybody who's involved on Trump's side, threatening the prosecutors, threatening, you know, just everybody who's not on their side. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody did this, somebody, you know, regular folk, they'd be in prison. Why is Donald Trump getting special treatment? It's disgusting.
Yeah. You know, you and I would be sitting in prison, you know, waiting for our court date. Even if it was 2 years away, I have to sit in prison for 2 years. That's the reality that happens to anyone else.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the most appalling thing is that he is still allowed to go to these hate rallies and spew lies every single time he's there, you know, still talking about the 2020 election and how it was stolen from him over and over and over, like a psychopath. And he's, you know, out of control as far as that goes. So it's just unfair. It's unfair and it's not right. They need to find a way to shut him up. You know, that's what they need to
do. Yeah. And back in 2016, after Trump announced, you know, people were saying, oh, if Bernie Sanders don't get a nomination, then I'm not voting. See? Voting has consequences.
Yes, it does.
You know, not voting has consequences, I should say. Not voting. And they're so hooked up on Bernie Sanders, which is not a good platform, in my opinion, because I was for Bernie Sanders. But the reality is Hillary Clinton was a nominee. And cut the nose off the spite of the face and said, no, you know, for this Hillary bashing over the 30-plus years that Republican did a hit job on them, on her, this poor woman. Not saying any politicians is innocent, but Hillary Clinton was the most qualified Secretary of State this nation has ever had since Thomas Jefferson. She's a brilliant, educated woman, the North Star. And because she has a vagina, because she's a woman, she should know her place. How dare you run for president? You know, and all sorts of malicious things came out time after time after time, you know, and the burner people just wouldn't get over it. And personally, I know some burner people who are pro-Bernie Sanders, out of spite and maliciousness, voted for Donald Trump in 2016. You know, so I hope y'all are happy now, burner people, you know, because of your crap and your temper tantrum. We got Donald Trump for 4 goddamn years, and he had 3 Supreme Court picks. And now everything unraveling. So if you could go back in time, would you have voted for Hillary, or would you have stayed home like you did? Or even worse, yet, voted for an asshole like Donald Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. These people cast a forward. They're just like, you know, like, oh, I want my way, or I'll get no way. You know? It's annoying, man. Jesus Christ, grow up, people.
Elections have consequences, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize that. They have consequences. And, you know, just like you said, voting for Trump out of spite because you didn't get your way, look what we got now. Look what we have in front of us, you know, the danger that this faces, you know, because
of Supreme Court dominated by right-wing lunatic Christian conservatives who want to govern and make laws based off the Bible. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
Anyway, 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say first name, where you're calling from. And please have all background noises off. Don't speak over the horse and everything will be cool. Khalil calling from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How
good,
are you?
Good.
Doing pretty good. We're gonna have a meeting about a gun buyback program in Charlottesville, and I'm not sure. I'm a little nervous, but basically it's going to be Charlottesville police, and I don't know if they're going to have federal police there or not, but because we're not that far from D.C., but basically we're going to have that. And one of the problems I find, I may have told you this before, the people that don't support gun control, a lot of them don't support gun buybacks either. And it's like, why don't you support anything that actually, why don't these people support anything that actually makes people safe, even if it's not gun control? It's like, I mean, come on. That's how I feel about that.
I was just asking, they're going to have a buyback program, you said? A gun buyback program?
They might have it. We're having a meeting about it at the city council.
Oh, okay.
And I'm hoping we do.
Yeah, I do too. That would be good.
Yeah.
And when they buy the guns, do you know what do they do with the guns? Do they destroy them?
Yeah, they do destroy them. That's why a lot of people are against it, which I don't really understand. To me, it's very selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
You even have one guy on CNN that called a woman destroying her own gun a violation of his Second Amendment rights. It's like, damn you. How damn dare you, bastard, selfish bastard? Sorry if I used that, but I was just aggravated.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not content. He's not content with no gun control. He just wants to, you know. And we also have to have people. We also have to have people call people like that out. We don't need people when you bring stuff like that up deflecting attention away from only gun control, you know.
Do you have your TV on? I can hear the noise in the back. Do you have your television on?
No, I don't have a television on.
Something.
All right, it's off. I don't know, because the last time I had it on, you couldn't hear anything.
Oh.
I don't know what.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
these
phones are funny.
Just
sorry about that.
I was just getting
So, Khalil, check this out. In your state, are the people, because of this gun buyback program, do they think that it's Democrats trying to take away the guns, or, you know, what's the feeling?
You talking about in New York or Virginia?
No, where are you from? You talk about the gun buyback program and everything, and people are resistant to it. Do you think that they have this feeling that it's Democrats trying to take away the guns, or what's the mood like there?
I'm not sure about here, but I've been looking up on the internet, and I've been finding a lot of selfish people, but I'm not sure about how it is here. But basically, I'm hoping that people here are not – people, even if they're against gun control, hopefully they're content with that. They're not just not wanting to do anything but allow more guns. But basically, I have found a person that was here that I was talking to about it, and he treated it like it was a game. To me, when I tell people about people that don't want gun control except when it's discriminatory and they want to deflect, say, if we ban guns, only the criminals will have them. They're just playing a game, and it's something more serious than that, than for you to just have tunnel vision like that. You know, because if a person doesn't want gun control except when it's discriminatory, that's a problem, because all you're going to do is not allow certain people that are certain groups, but then you're going to allow dangerous people to have them. And that's just not something where a person should have tunnel vision like that. It was the same thing with, like, Canada. You know, they were talking about officers outgunned, and only thing people could think about is how the show was propaganda to take away guns instead of how do we equally arm these police officers. You know, they always do that. And to me, there's something wrong. To me personally, I don't respect people who see situations that are serious, like gun violence and people being inconsistent, and they want to be wishy-washy. Not wishy-washy, but deflect attention. I don't respect that. Mm-hmm, and people who do that and then get defensive with me, I'm usually not as nice to them. I'm usually calling them out if they're going to get defensive about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That really makes me mad.
Did you and others who are online now, did you hear about the arrest near President Obama's home of this man who was wanted for January 6th rioting? He has evaded justice since January 6th. He took part in January 6th. And now he had a gun and ambassador to go to Obama's home with bomb-making materials in his vehicle. They're holding him on misdemeanor. You know, again, if it was a regular person, they'd be in prison awaiting trial. They're using all sorts of excuses for this man, saying that, oh, he has, you know, mental issues, PTSD, blah, blah, blah. So if he has that, how the hell does he get guns? If you know he has a mental problem, why did you allow him to have guns? If somebody can, you know, answer me with a straight face, then, this country. I'm going to play a little excerpt here of him ranting and about when the news broke, about him threatening the Obama home. And previous to that, he went to Jim Raskin's house, and he was threatening Jim Raskin, the congressman, as well. You know? So if we were a black person or a brown person, they'd be shot dead a long time. But because he's a white guy, you know, who's suffering from PTSD and other mental issues, let us call him in and have him on a misdemeanor charge. Yeah, come on. The double standard is ridiculous.
Well,
it is ridiculous.
Sorry, I'm about to say something. I'm sorry I cut you off. I do feel because he's a white guy it is, but not because of his mental illness, because when you look at it, too many people who are mentally ill, they get the same punishment, but they don't get the same rights, which is not if you're going to give someone the same punishment, give them the same rights. And I don't believe that people should use that all the time, but I feel that the government, like I've been to jail, and the system they only saw me as equal when I did something wrong. But when it came to giving me the rights to be a regular prisoner, to be out with rec and stuff like that, with like even segregated, they didn't give me the same thing. So it's like they do that. They say you're equal under the law when you do something wrong, but in each state they'll treat you differently when it comes to the rights, which is not that's not how things should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's the clip. Yeah, go ahead, Colin. You're making another point.
I do agree he should not have, if he's mentally ill, he should not have a gun, you know.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
people who have these guns, like I said, and I talked to one guy, he said he would rather a Muslim be banned from a gun than a mentally ill person. And I told him, I said, you guys that don't want gun control for people who are criminals, but you want them for when it's discriminatory. I said, what is your agenda? Why do you want it when it's discriminatory, but then you don't want it when it's actually helpful? And he actually, what I was proud of him about was he didn't deflect. He saw his hypocrisy. He sat there and thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good. 1.3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here is the clip about this lunatic who, you know, went to Obama's home and, you know, tried to hurt former President Obama and Mrs. Obama.
I'm here breaking news now out of Washington, where we are learning new details about the January 6th rioter who was arrested outside former President Obama's home just last week. Joining me now is DC News Justice reporter Ryan Riley. Ryan, what do we know about him?
So Taylor Toronto has been living in a van down by the D.C. jail for a couple of months now. And this news filing from prosecutors, they say that law enforcement had been looking for him at some point but weren't able to find him because he had no fixed address. But on social media, it was pretty clear where he was living. And in fact, other January 6 supporters who have been gathering by the jail on a regular basis had kicked him out because his views were too extreme for them. He'd actually been trying to show a video of Ashley Babbitt's death to Ashley Babbitt's mom and other people who hang out by the D.C. jail there. So prosecutors are going to seek his detention this afternoon. Right now, he's only facing four charges, misdemeanor charges, but that, you know, could obviously change in the future. And they say that he's a threat to people going forward. He had these two guns and 400 rounds of ammunition in his van, and he's just sort of really discombobulated and not fully there, it seems like, when he was making these rants on social media and streaming himself outside of the Obama's residence, believing that there were somehow tunnels connecting the Obama's residence to the Podesta's residence of some sort. So he's really kind of been pretty out there and has been someone that they think is a threat going forward.
Wow. I mean, that's right on Embassy Row.
That's right. Yeah.
And so presumably they will add some charges so that they can hold him without that.
They could, and I mean, obviously having guns in D.C. isn't necessarily looked highly upon, so I think that that's something that could face charges down the road. But right now, it's just those misdemeanor charges. He's one of hundreds of people who have been identified by online sleuths for several months now, but have not yet been arrested to the FBI. But this one didn't seem, until he actually showed up to the Obama's residence, didn't seem to be that high priority, even though he's been here on and off back to D.C. Since he's been identified almost 2 years ago in August of 2021.
So there you go, a white man, you know, have the biggest privilege in the world, going to a former president's home, threatening him and his wife.
Yeah.
You know,
and
oh,
and
you
know,
PTSD.
Yeah. And especially because it's, you know, President Obama's home. You know, he's a former president, for God's sake. That has no precedent over anything. That's just wrong.
Right. It is wrong.
I blame Donald Trump going around the place with these hate speeches, his Nazi rallies, and inciting people. But then again, there are grown-ass people who should know better. You know, they're full up of so much hate, they'll actually go to somebody's home and threaten them. The better people, come on now.
Well, it was Trump who published the Obama's address on his Truth Social, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And within itself, it's pretty damn wrong.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, during the insurrection riots, were they, like, the people who were, I mean, not the people, not the insurrectionists, but the people who were pointing guns at the windows, were those, like, U.S. Secret Service or FBI or both that were basically putting their guns out?
I have no clue.
I don't know either.
Sorry, the reason I was asking is because if that was FBI, then they were at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I don't think the FBI is there, from what I understand. But I don't know. It's hard to know.
Yeah, but it's a shame that these rioters did what they did, and it's a shame that people like that get the wrong people get praised while the right people don't get praised. Like one thing one person said is, "You're an environmentalist. You get called a radical, while these insurrectionists get supported." And it's the same thing. Like if you protest against banks, greedy old banks that take away stuff unnecessarily. They tell you to get a job, but then when you protest against illegal immigrants, all of a sudden it becomes your patriot. That's how they look at it. And then, like, because someone even said, why don't they protest against illegals instead of these banks? And it's like, you want people to go against the wrong groups of people. And when we look at the history of immigration in this country, what we've done to these other countries and how we've been two-faced it with public property, you know, it's really not as simple as protesting illegals versus the banks. You know, if the banks, these people are rich people, and the illegals are poor people that we mess up their country, we we basically tell them we don't mind them coming as long as they do it legally, but then we make it hard. So it's like you would rather someone, a person that would rather someone protest the illegals than the banks, to me, someone like that, they're not a respectable person.
No, not.
Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, before you do, let's just bring in this person from Wisconsin, from Wyoming. I'm sorry.
Before I lose my train of thought, please.
Go ahead.
That are coming over to this country, I don't mean to be disrespectful. They aren't illegal. They are immigrants. Please do not use the Republican terms. Please.
Mm-hmm.
They are immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
They are not illegals.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I'm done.
I agree a lot. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, this is Kitchen Politics 123, the topic, Truth and Consequences, 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from, and have off all background noises, please. Wyoming, hello. Welcome to the show. How are you, Wyoming?
Hey, guys. I hope everybody is well. This is Danny calling out of Wyoming. How is everybody tonight?
Hi. Pretty good. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome. I do appreciate it. You know, something that, that did strike a chord with me is the use of the word immigrant. Back in the 1900s, my father's parents came here from Serbia with no knowledge of English, no penny to their name, and they built an amazing business that's still running today.
That's awesome.
And one thing that I don't agree with, though, is that they came here to make a place in the United States. We have so many people that are coming here to take advantage of us. And advantage of our, you know, the things that we offer to, you know, migrants, immigrants, if you will, that we don't even offer to our own, you know, our own military. And I believe that it's asinine, you know, and I will say that I'm a proud Republican. I'm not your regular Republican. I carry around a Hermes Birkin bag with a little chihuahua in it. Republicans come in all shapes, sizes, and creeds. And I know one thing, though. I know it's right for my country. And what I'm seeing right now is an utter disaster. We have cocaine being done in the White House. We have a president that probably doesn't even know what day it is. We have an administration that keeps raising our taxes. My employees are making less money than they were under the Trump administration. You know, the cost of goods is gone up significantly. Everything under Biden. You know, everybody would like to say that everything's okay, but it's not. I mean, and then they're bringing in foreign oil on tanker ships. Do you know how much oil and carbon output that puts to bring a shit ton, excuse my language, of oil from the Middle East to America when we have natural resources ourselves?
Can I ask a question of this caller?
Go ahead.
Yes.
What is it that we are giving the immigrants that your parents did not get? What is it are giving them?
Well, let's see here. When my grandparents came to Ellis
Island. I'm asking, what are we giving? What are we giving the immigrants now that we didn't give before?
Would you please let me speak?
I clarified my question.
Thank you. So, you know, we have illegal immigrants put up in a 5-star hotel in New York City. They're receiving health care. They're receiving benefits. They are receiving so much continued care because they claim refugee status. When at the end of the day, they're not refugees, darling.
You know what? My husband's an immigrant, and he is not entitled to any benefits. We've spent 2.5 years just trying to find insurance we can buy for him. He's not eligible for any any Medicaid. He's not eligible for despite the fact that for 20 years he's paid into Social Security, he's not eligible to collect that. There are no benefits eligible for people who are not legally citizens here.
You have all the rights to be mad as hell about that because your husband does deserve that type of health care.
Yes, he's been here and paid taxes and worked in this country
for
20 years, but he can't get it.
But our taxes are going towards medical for these illegal immigrants that are coming across the border. And
what illegal immigrants are you talking about? They are immigrants. They aren't illegal.
Well, they're illegally in this country, so at least that's
who is illegally in this country? They are coming across the border. They are not illegal. They are migrating. They are immigrants. Now, you're repeating the Republican narrative. Clarify what you are trying to say.
Please.
Go ahead. Let me say something.
Please, I think
what people are misunderstanding is that they are not just coming here and just walking into our borders and being put in hotels and given luxury living costs. They're not.
They are, though.
You're just full of crap.
These people are running for their lives for many different reasons, and we won't get into those tonight, but there are many different reasons. And they are called asylum seekers.
I would like to ask this, though. What are they running from their lives for?
From cartels, from drought,
There's all kinds of things that have interfered in this. Tell me about those 500 immigrants that got pushed away
from Greece and all drowned while we spent millions looking for five wealthy guys in a submarine that they chose to go on while 500 human beings drowned after being shoved off the shore and nobody even made an effort to retrieve their bodies. That's the difference.
Well, you know, and I'm sorry, I am a Titanic historian, but I will say this. That's what happens when you use a jerry-rigged boat to, set sail across the Mediterranean and have no source of radio or anything like that. I feel sorry for those people.
Well, these
it's
are poor people
they,
trying to find a place where they can continue to live, where they've been bombed, and at the end of the day,
though,
my God, you have no compassion for any human being.
They made that decision. They made that decision, darling.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Don't you think that desperation? Hold on. Now you have to sometimes, you know, because I come from an immigrant family as well. That did well in the world here, okay, in the country here. I do too. But you have to think out of the box a little bit. If you are someone that is so desperate to get out of your country for whatever reasons that they have, and it has to be desperation, because they were getting on a ship that was, if you saw the ship, it is not a ship. It was just like a sailboat, but it was big. And they probably knew.
They probably knew that maybe
they weren't going to make it. What I'm trying to say to you is that sometimes desperation and the thought of maybe having a better life for some people, it's worth it. And if we had an immigration system that gave a crap about people instead of doing wrong, maybe we wouldn't have these problems. We have lots of immigration problems in this country. We need immigration reform.
We do need immigration reform.
Our country is not the only country that has asylum people that want to claim asylum. It's going on in Italy. It's going on in France. It's going on in other countries as well. So you have to understand these people that are coming are desperate because they maybe can't eat and they maybe want a better life for themselves or their families. You have to have compassion.
I have compassion, but at the same time, I will say this. Why is it that the rapes have gone up in all these countries that have welcomed these immigrants? Why is it that Sharia law is being very put to the front in these Western nations? And do you really support having female castration? Do you support getting gays bashed? Do you support like literally women getting raped and having to be viewed by three different men for it to be like actually okay before they are shunned or killed?
What are you talking about?
Who are you blaming?
I'm talking about
Sharia law. This has nothing to do with Mexico.
You're talking about Republican law, not Sharia law. Yeah. Republican law.
No,
that's what they're trying to put on us in this country.
And I'm Jewish, so I don't appreciate the anti-Semitism that comes with Sharia law and people that come across the Mediterranean. It's completely different. Regardless of the fact, countries need to have their borders. Countries need to have a sovereign state. And if you don't have a sovereign state, then, you know, then what the hell do you have a border or a country for?
What are you talking about Sharia law for? I thought you said the immigrants are receiving. I thought
you
said the immigrants are illegal and they're receiving government assistance.
Because
yeah. And you haven't explained that yet. That is
the
Republican narrative that
you
are spewing out. Now, you prove what you said, sir.
You said that these people are coming over and receiving benefits.
What benefits?
Elaine,
okay, I will say this, though. When I bring up Sharia law, I'm talking about the immigrants that are coming to Europe. But to, you know, go full circle here and talk about what's going on in our nation, the nation that we should be concerned about and love and cherish, you need to realize, though, that there are many hotels, 5-star hotels in New York City, that are filled to the brim with these illegal immigrants. There is drug, there is rape, there is all these different
crimes. Sounds like Donald Trump.
Word
for word what Donald Trump has said in his speeches.
You sound like DeSantis and Donald Trump.
You are repeating their speeches word for word.
I'm not going to sit on the phone and listen to this kind of lies. I'm telling you what I read off of the Daily Mail.
I thought you said you were from, where did you say you were from?
Wyoming,
but you're quoting New York. You know what's going on in New York, but you're from Wyoming.
Well, of course, I caught you in another lie. Of course I need to know what's going on with the New York Post. You want to know why? Because I like to be intelligent. I like to know what's going on with the world because Wyoming is a different place. You guys wouldn't even survive here at the end of the day.
We didn't survive.
You didn't survive.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? I mean that you guys would not clash with the people around here because we have good, wholesome values. I lived in L.A. for 7 years. I lived in England. I lived in Houston. I've been around the world. I've seen many different creeds, many different kinds. I probably have experienced more than all of you guys combined. And I'm very, very blessed that I've had that experience, you know. Very, very blessed about that. But I know what I've seen, and I like to, you know, keep up on current events, whether it's in Wyoming, whether it's in Los Angeles, whether it's in China.
You used a term. You just used a term now. You said you're Jewish?
I am.
Second.
Yeah, oh, you are. You just used a term that's not Jewish, but go on. Go on. Keep telling us more stuff.
I'm not practicing. My mother's
Jewish. And I'm not going to tell you what term it was that you just used.
You know that.
Don't be such a yenta, okay?
Do you know that some of the immigrants that came into this country were brought in here.
Legally.
Came in here. And then they were put on buses. Do you know this? They were put on buses and sent around the country on false pretenses. So
they were sent to sanctuary cities.
That you're talking about in New York. They did not tell them where they were going.
Well, they were sent to sanctuary cities.
All they knew is that they were told to get on a bus, and that's what they did. They came here.
Well, and they were so happy to do so.
What?
And they were so happy to do so, because at the end of the day, they're coming here to reap what we give. And if you're so blasé to not think.
Are you kidding? Do you know what's going on in Florida? Do you know what's going on in Florida right now? Do you know what's happening in Florida? Florida has all the fruit, all your vegetables, all your watermelons, all your oranges, all the produce.
Grapefruit, tangerines.
Who picks all of that? Who picks all of that produce? Who picks it all? Migrants.
Nobody.
That's the most racist thing that I could ever hear. That is the most racist thing I could ever hear. So you're just trying to
Let
say, basically, we need
please.
Illegal immigrants in this country so they can do
no,
dirty
Danny,
fucking
what she's
work.
Trying to, Danny, what she's trying to say is that other Americans, whether black, white, whoever, won't go in the fields and pick these fruits because of things getting their hands dirty is below them. So that's why these immigrants do these jobs for little or no wages. You know, they're not taking anybody's job, Danny.
Well, and I will say this, though. I'm around a very big farming community. We don't have any illegal immigrants doing it. The farmers do that. That's their job.
No, you're wrong.
No, the farmers do not do it.
Excuse me, you're wrong. Now, listen. So what I'm
if
going
you're
to
a farmer
you.
And you own hundreds of acres of orange groves, you are not the one picking it, I assure you. They hire people who come here as a migrant worker on a part-time basis for part of the year, and now DeSantis won't allow them in there. So all those fruits and stuff are going to be wasted.
Well, you know
and
what?
The construction
good. Somebody is standing up to this monstrosity.
Can I finish?
And somebody is standing up to the fact that we're castrating children.
Can I finish? You did not let me finish.
We're not castrating children. So the fuck are you talking about?
Castrating children.
As of July 3rd, the migrants
who is
that are
castrating children
in Florida.
Who's castrating children?
Wait, Laura's trying to make a point.
Anybody that supports transgender. Yes, please.
Wait, no, let's not. No. You're not going to change the subject. You're going to let me finish what I was trying to explain to you about migrants. Because this is a valid point, and it did happen. And you said you're up on the news. So let me hear, I'm going to explain this to you, and then you can tell me what you think. Now, there are farmers that hire these migrants, and they are illegal. Yes, they are. And everybody knows it, okay? They pick
including
the fruit.
Trump hires them.
Exactly. And they pick the fruit, and they keep Florida's produce in Florida going because that is how Florida makes its money, from the produce, from oranges and everything else that they send out, all right? Now, in July, as of July the 1st, DeSantis, who is the governor of Florida, signed a ruling that all these illegal migrants, immigrants, however you want to put it, can no longer work in Florida, and they will be arrested if they work in Florida. Now, Florida is desolate now, and their fruit, their crops, their watermelons, their great oranges, everything is rotting. And these farmers are begging to find people to work, but they won't because they don't make enough money to do it. So try to explain to me how that is wrong when they are saving a state and sending out produce to the country and making money. What's wrong with that?
Let's start with the machinery, because nobody picks oranges off groves anymore. They have a mechanical machine that does it. Can I please continue? You had your thought.
It's the migrants that are doing it, even if it's machinery. Do you understand that? It's the migrants that are doing the work. That's the bottom line.
The bottom line to me, though, is that you're coming off very racist and saying that, you know, we need to have cheap migrant workers if we want to get anything done with the country.
Absolutely not.
Because Americans won't do the work.
When there's actually machinery that can do the work.
Is that they cannot hire people to do that work because they don't pay them enough. And these migrant workers are willing to do the work because they send the money back to their families.
So they're not paying taxes. They're not stimulating our economy. So you're basically saying that, like, we need to have cheap labor. We need to have migrant workers.
That's
disgustingly racist.
I am telling you, no. Do the research, buddy. Do the research.
I've done the research, darling.
In Florida especially, and look, you're in Wyoming. You have no clue. In Florida,
I've been around the world. I have a 13-carat diamond on my fucking hand. I don't know.
I don't care what you got on your hand. Now, you explained the very first thing that came out of your mouth. You said that the people that are coming over to this country, the immigrants, are getting all the benefits. You explain benefits. What benefits?
Not.
You.
Well, let's see. Well, let's see,
the
though.
The migrants that are working.
Let's be honest here.
And you're trying to tell me that because you have a 13 freaking carat diamond on your finger, what does that have to do with migrants? Not a damn thing. It has nothing to do with migrants, but what it has to do with is
letting you know that I'm cultured, I've been around, and I do have money.
You're an entitled Republican, and you're no different.
I'm totally entitled. I'm totally
that's
entitled.
Exactly,
you know why?
What you're telling.
Because I came from immigrants
and you think
that came from nothing.
Wearing a gaudy man's 13 carat ring makes you classy. It just makes you gaudy and flashy and obsequious. As hell.
Well, of course it makes me obsequious. You know, I have a beautiful Birkin bag
that's
and I carry my chihuahua around.
It's not a good thing. It makes you an ass. And they don't castrate children in this country. No one gets transgendered surgery under 18, and they have to have the doctor's approval and their psychiatrist's approval before any surgery is done. Nobody's just lobbing off the thing.
You can go to Planned Parenthood and literally get on HRT. And, you know, that will chemically castrate a person. You cannot have...
Who should castrate any guy that helps a woman? He ought to be castrated. The dick ought to be cut off and put on display. Now, how do you like those apples?
I would love that so everybody can see my big cack.
I would love to see your dick on display because I got a feeling you're the type of person that pushes your will on a woman.
Yeah, probably need a magnifying glass to see it if it was anyway. So
did you just assume my sexuality or my gender?
Aren't you a man?
Did you say
you were a man?
I am a man, but does that mean that I'm going to touch myself on a woman?
Oh my God!
Well,
we got a weirdo on the phone.
We got a plain weirdo.
No, you guys are so contradicting yourself, and it's hilarious.
Oh, you're a weirdo. You can't stick to one subject.
Now you're playing games.
I don't like games.
If
the governor signs something, if the governor signs an order because he knew that immigrants were doing the work in the country, in his state. And now nothing is being picked, or the produce is, the work is not getting done, machine or no machine. Everything is rotting. I have friends down there, and I've been told that. So I just want you to know that it has nothing to do with people not, it has to do with Americans, basically, that do not want to do that type of work. It's labor. They don't want to do labor because they don't get paid enough to do it. Bottom line.
Okay, you guys, I have
so
to go. Take care. You fucking trash.
With you, what you're insinuating. Nothing at all. That's how Florida, that is who takes care of all their lawn services and all the condominiums, all their building, all their construction, everything comes from the illegal immigrants that have been working there for years upon years.
They come every season.
Yeah, they come every season. They're basically going to come every season on a farm work program, but the sand has cut that out.
Yeah.
And now we're
yeah.
seeing the fruits of the labor where regular Americans don't want to go in the fields and get their hands dirty. So what jobs are immigrants taking? Not that one, because, hey, you get dirty in it. You get paid crumbs. But Danny left. Danny from in Wyoming, thank you for calling. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he was saying that we're unhinged. No, we're not, because we're bringing up facts and everything. And as Elaine Riley asked, what benefits are the so-called illegal immigrants are getting?
He never answered.
Oh, he couldn't answer that.
He never answered.
I did look up
mm-hmm.
about the hotel, and yes, there are some,
mm-hmm.
because they had no place
mm-hmm.
else to put them. So the hotels
mm-hmm.
are the ones that said that they would put up a few, and it's maybe 90 immigrants. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They,
it's all their fault.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah,
offered.
But of course,
and
you know,
people
but, yeah, they offered.
And not told where they were going. Can you imagine
mm-hmm.
that?
And planes as well. Not only buses,
yes.
but planes as well.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And DeSantis
yeah.
and the governor of Texas chartered these planes and used taxpayer
right.
money to get these
yeah.
and that's illegal. You know, so what the hell, Danny, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. You know, you can talk facts to these people, but they live in an alternative universe. And why does someone have to tell you they 13, what did
mm-hmm.
he say? Eric diamond ring on his finger? I give a shit.
Serpentine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That got to do with anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Does
so,
that make him a better person than an immigrant?
Right.
Does that make him a better
yeah,
person
Jessica,
than you or me? What does it make him?
Yeah, Jessica from Michigan wrote in saying that dolphins have bigger brains than this person from Wyoming. Yeah, well.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Jessica, for that. We needed to laugh.
Yeah, thank you, Jessica. I love you, Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, I'm just under 22 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we talk about? You know, because we're coming to the closing stages of the show.
I just want to talk a moment about Ron DeSantis' wife. Because she's
yeah.
a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
You have that article in front of you, David, I think, as well. His wife's
mm-hmm.
name is Kate DeSantis, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, she has created this, this organization, so to speak. And it's Mamas for DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that the progressives are coming for their kids, by the way. So she's
mm-hmm.
as her husband. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of, in a way, you know, I really never heard her speak before just recently, and I thought maybe she was one of those Stepford wives that just kind of, you know, stayed mm-hmm. back and let him do his thing as long as she got to, you know, reap the benefits of it all. But no, mm-hmm. she is, she's crazy, and she is vowing not to let progressives impose agenda on American children and their mothers. Casey DeSantis outlined the hardline right-wing agenda her husband has imposed on Florida and now wants to impose it on America. The Florida First Lady did so in a new video, Mamas for DeSantis, a group supporting Governor Ron DeSantis' campaign for the Republican presidential nomination.
Well, I do have that advertisement. I do have that advertisement. You want to hear it? Yes.
Yeah. Yes,
I do. Let me cue up and everything. Yeah, I'm getting it ready here.
In America, okay. We've witnessed a lot and put up with enough.
Guys, gotta go. He is arresting her for being on a public playground. Her kids are here.
We've been forced into silence. Into compliance. Told that we must trust the science.
Indoor and outdoor venues should be closed.
We've been told that we must deny truth, back down, and look the other way. Enough is enough. When you come after our kids, we fight back. Because there's nothing we won't do to protect our children. We're not yours.
These are our kids.
Our nation's children are all our children.
We will not allow you to exploit their innocence to advance your agenda. We are no longer silent. We are united. And we have finally found our title.
Winning the fight in Florida is just the beginning. We must protect parents' rights and the innocence of our children. We must restore sanity in our society. We need every mama and every grandmama in every corner of the country to stand up and fight back by electing Ron DeSantis, President of the United States of America. Join us by texting Mama to 512345.
Oh my goodness! What the hell was that? Was that Saturday Night Live? What the hell was that? Oh my God!
Know.
She's crazy.
Yeah.
Walmart Barbie is crazy. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, nobody coming after your children. Here's to the Sanders.
I know.
Republican. You know what's
yeah.
she talking about?
She's just as radical and crazy and fascist as her husband. And the thing, the mm-hmm. difference between and him is that she can connect with people. I've seen her speak, and she is warmer. She's got a warmer tone to her than Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. Ron DeSantis does not know how to connect with people. He's not a good speaker. Doesn't mm-hmm. look at his audience and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he's running 30 points behind Trump. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
So he's got a long way to go. And if Casey, you know, thinks that she's going to save her, you know, her husband and get him to be the nominee, she's got a lot of mamas to get on her side. And if her father and if her husband signs the bill about the for rent, the what am I thinking about alimony? You know, women not getting alimony. She's going to have less mamas on her side.
It's just madness down there in Florida. Thank God I moved. Because it's like a third world Republican down there with Ron DeSantis as governor. For the past 30 plus years, Republicans have been in power through the legislature and through the governor's mansion. And it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. When will people realize that Republicans don't care for them? You know?
They believe
all the propaganda Republicans spew, you know, from Kentucky right through to Nebraska, wherever, Bible Belt, you know, Wyoming, wherever. I mean, come on, people, wise up. Republicans don't care about you. If you have a nice, fat, juicy bank account, or you're a CEO of a corporation or a multimillionaire, that's when they care about you. Otherwise, they don't care about you, okay? And Santana with the ring, the 13-carat ring, good luck with that, you know? Good luck with that. That's all I could say.
you know?
Yeah. And that didn't have anything to do with the conversation we're having, but, you know, if you want to talk about your diamond ring, fine. But it wasn't germane to the conversation we were having. Okay, so last speech by Ronald Reagan as president was on immigration. And interestingly enough, Ronald Reagan was for the quote-unquote illegal immigrant coming, getting a path to citizenship. When George W. Bush and even his father, George H. W. Bush, were in there, they tried to do something for immigration reform. And what did the crazy right-wing lunatic Republicans do? Fight against it. So now this is Ronald Reagan speaking as president for the last time on immigration, and this is what he came up with.
Since this is the last speech that I will give as president, I think it's fitting to leave one final thought.
I don't know.
He gave us a final thought.
Friends, but you cannot become You can go to live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, a Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth. Since this is the last speech that I will give as president, I think it's fitting to leave one final thought, an observation about a country which I love. It was stated best in a letter I received not long ago. A man wrote me and said, you can go to live in France, but you cannot become a Frenchman. You can go to live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, a Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American. Yes, the torch of Lady Liberty symbolizes our freedom and represents our heritage, the compact with our parents, our grandparents, and our ancestors. It is that lady who gives us our great and special place in the world. For it's the great life force of each generation of new Americans that guarantees that America's triumph shall continue unsurpassed into the next century and beyond. Other countries may seek to compete with us, but in one vital area, as a beacon of freedom and opportunity that draws the people of the world, no country on earth comes close. This, I believe, is one of the most important sources of America's greatness. We lead the world because, unique among nations, we draw our people, our strength, from every country and every corner of the world. And by doing so, we continuously renew and enrich our nation. While other countries cling to the stale past, here in America, we breathe life into dreams. We create the future, and the world follows us into tomorrow. Thanks to each wave of new arrivals to this land of opportunity, we're a nation forever young, forever bursting with energy and new ideas, and always on the cutting edge, always leading the world to the next frontier. This quality is vital to our future as a nation. If we ever close the door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost. A number of years ago, an American student traveling in Europe took an East German ship across the Baltic Sea. One of the ship's crew members from East Germany, a man in his 60s, struck up a conversation with the American student. After a while, the student asked the man how he had learned such good English. And the man explained that he wants to live in America. He said that for over a year he'd worked as a farmer in Oklahoma and California, that he'd planted tomatoes and picked ripe melons. It was, the man said, the happiest time of his life. Well, the student, who'd seen the awful conditions behind the Iron Curtain, blurted out the question, "But why did you ever leave?" "I had to," he said. "The war ended." The man had been in America as a German prisoner of war. Now, I don't tell this story to make the case for former POWs. Instead, I tell this story just to remind you of the magical, intoxicating power of America. We may sometimes forget it, but others do not. Even a man from a country at war with the United States, while held here as a prisoner, could fall in love with us. Those who become American citizens love this country even more. And that's why the Statue of Liberty lifts her lamp to welcome them to the Golden Door. It is bold men and women yearning for freedom and opportunity who leave their homelands and come to a new country to start their lives over. They believe in the American dream, and over they make it come true for themselves, for their children, and for others. They give more than they receive. They labor and succeed, and often they are entrepreneurs. But their greatest contribution is more than economic, because they understand in a special way how glorious it is to be an American. They renew our pride and gratitude in the United States of America, the greatest, freest nation in the world, the last best hope of man on earth.
That was former President Ronald Reagan, his final speech as President of the United States in 1989. And, you know, at least he showed compassion that everybody is welcome in the United States. And I don't know what the hell happened to the Republican Party where it turns so evil and hateful. But so that's not a flex, Danny, in Wyoming. That's not a flex, Mike, in Minnesota. Pianke, whoever listening, who's right wing. Stop it. The hate, get help. Yeah. You know, this country is not about hate. It's about freedom. It's about giving people a second opportunity. And why these people coming from the borders, from different South American and Central American countries, is because, I say it again, I say it a million times on the show, when the Cold War is happening between the former Soviet Union and the United States and our allies in NATO, we in the United States, as well as the former Soviet Union and Warsaw, the Warsaw Pact, use these third world nations as pawns, okay? And then put in your left wing or right wing person or whatever. It was like a chess game, you know? And Cuba is involved in it. You know, Castro is no angel. We all can agree on that. You know? And when these people were put in by the United States or the former Soviet Union, it destabilized the country. So it's divide and conquer, the factions fighting, you know, we're for United States or we're for Russia, you know, and everything just fall apart. Okay, look at Pinochet, Augusto Pinochet in Chile, perfect example. You know, Allende was murdered, you know, because he was a socialist, a left-leaning socialist. Not communist, a socialist. And it turned the country in turmoil and the people ran away. You know, when Pinochet came in there, because he was so goddamn evil. He make Allende look like a Boy Scout, you know? And and the ramifications of what happened back in the 60s and 70s in these Central American countries and in the Caribbean and all over the place because of this damn Cold War between the former Soviet Union and America, it displaced many people. And that is why they're coming to our borders, you know?
Yes.
And instead of welcoming them, we're shitting on them. You know, we're doing everything in our power to make their lives miserable. Send your free, you know, send your sick. Yearning masses, you know, yearning to be free. the Statue of Liberty, whatever that say. You know, this is, this is an immigrant country, and like it or not, by 2045, it's going to be a majority-minority country where black will mix with white, white will mix with Hispanic, Asian will mix with whatever. You know, it's not going to be a majority-white country anymore. So,
you know,
as Ronald Reagan said in his piece, welcome everybody.
Yeah. You know, the
Ronald Reagan also believed in open borders. But the Republicans don't, they don't mention that. They don't mention this farewell speech. They're very selective on what they would mention that Ronald Reagan said.
You know, the thing that gets
me
is that, you know, they state that their family, just like mine, were immigrants. They came here, they worked hard, you know, and they became, you know, rich or whatever. You know, they lived good life, put it that way. Why? I mean, if you come from that kind of a background, why wouldn't you want to give another human being an opportunity like you had? Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It's just so selfish. It's so selfish. It's so self-righteous. It makes me angry.
It's just like Clarence Thomas on Affirmative Action. Affirmative Action helped Clarence Thomas, and then he pulled a ladder from helping anybody else, saying, okay, I got mine, fuck you. That's the attitude. We should change that. We're better than that, Danny. We're better than that, Pianke. We're better than that, Mike in Minnesota. Come on, no, we're better than that. But that has to be the last word. I want to thank you for calling in. I want to thank Lynn and Margarita calling from New Mexico, Khalil calling from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and Elaine calling from Michigan, and Danny from Wyoming. You know, thank you for calling, even though we didn't agree. You know, we can agree to disagree, but you're so wrong on so many issues. Stop listening to people like Donald Trump. Take your party back. We're not, you know, America's not, you know, for hate. We cannot be better as a nation if we hate. You know, your parents came in as immigrants, you know, worked their asses off, got what they had to get. Great for them. Give somebody else a chance now. That's all we're asking.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Mm.
You're absolutely right, David.
Exactly.
Have a heart. Be kind.
Have a heart.
You know,
exactly.
Care about them. Share, share your wealth, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not socialism. Okay, thank you so much for calling in, everybody, and listening and sharing. Go to www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're also on Facebook. Merchandise will be up shortly. You'll have T-shirts, baseball caps, coffee mugs, bumper stickers. You know, you name it. We'll have it. Okay? So till tomorrow, same time, same place. We hope to hear from everybody again. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone be safe, be kind, and love everyone. Good night, all. Thank you.
Jesus, please.